Sairam, and welcome Colonel Malhotra ji to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you.
Your association with Swami dates back to the 70s. So it's definitely plenty of moments with Bhagwan, him guiding you in various aspects of your life, in your personal and professional spheres. So can we go back to that moment when Bhagwan entered your life?
Yeah, thank you, Vishu, for taking this on. I'll take it on now. My association with Swami is when Swami himself was in his 40s, late 40s perhaps. I'm referring to the 70s. But before I get on to my association with Swami, I'll just link it up with what was it before and thereafter, how was I brought into his fold by my parents.
Sure.
I'm now going back to the 60s and 70s. Generally, a person, whomever I meet after I quit my uniform, and I was in the army, and after my retirement, when I came into the civil, there are lots of questions asked inquisitively by people, like, what is my religion? Where am I from? And age factor. Well, age catches up. I am now in my mid-70s. But as regards the religion and where am I from is concerned, I thought let me just start this talk with these two issues. Where am I from? A very difficult question for an army man to reply. A person says he's from Punjab, he says he's from Tamil Nadu, he says he's from Andhra Pradesh. But for the army man, it's very difficult. Right from the early 60s, in 1962, I got into uniform. And since then, I've been moving up and down on transfers. As you know, it's a government job and we have a large field area with the China border and the Pakistan border and into the Rajasthan areas. I have been moving all those 30 to 35 years of my service from place A to place B. So my answer to this always is the whole country is mine. I don't belong to Delhi or I don't belong to Bangalore or I don't belong to one. And then a person realizes, yes. In fact, this particular issue came up very casually in one of my first interviews with Swami when I told him this and he said, "Bilkul theek, absolutely correct. Sabko aisa sochna chahiye." I'll leave it at that, since it was a personal interview. The other issue was in terms of my religion. Now, here again, I'll link it up with what Swami said. You see, when it comes to my religion, somebody says he's a Christian. Somebody says he's a Muslim. Somebody says he's a Sikh. When they ask me, I say, I have no religion because I am just a Hindu who believes in God. Hindu, as you are aware, Baba has also said that Hinduism is not a religion. It's only a way of life. Similarly, I have always believed, even before I came in contact with Baba, that I really don't have one religion. I just believe in God. Because even at home, in our own mandir with my parents, there were so many images and statues of gods that one really wondered, am I a Shiv Bhakt? Am I a Krishna Bhakt? Am I a Ram Bhakt? And whenever I close my eyes, I would get mixed up. I always considered it as I have no religion, except that I love God in whatever form he is. Now, the whole this concept manifested itself several years later when I was in uniform. I got into uniform in 1962, got my commission in 65. And it was again sometimes in 70 when I got an opportunity to express this concept in form. Now, in the army, we have units called regiments, called battalions. In my regiment, and most of the other regiments and battalions, people come from very diverse religions. So, in each unit, we have a small shed called a mandir. There's another shed called a gurdwara. There's another shed called a masjid. There's another place called a church. Depending upon what is the composition, the caste composition or the religious composition of that particular unit. I had a mixed. Till then, we were having these four items separately, four mandirs separately. When we shifted to Kashmir, when I moved my unit to Kashmir into a very sensitive area, here was an opportunity for me to make changes because it was a new place. I got hold of two Muslims, one Hindu, one Christian, and one Sikh, and we made it into a small cell. And I told them that instead of having four or five places where a Muslim goes to a masjid, a Christian goes to a church, the identities become separate. Why can't we combine them together? Because when we fight a battle, there's no such thing as any religion. You just fight for the country. They all said, yes. I said, now, what I'm going to do is, here is a shed that we have got to occupy. Earlier, it was called a mandir. Let's change it and let's call it a Sarvdharm Sthal. Sarvdharm Sthal or Sarvdharm Mandir. In that mandir, I told all four of them, you please decide what elements of your religion would you like to put. I told them broadly, since the majority of the people are Hindus with diverse gods, we'll have a central image of a Hindu. On top, we could have a very nice brass a cross representing Jesus. On one side would be the Granth representing the Sikhs, and on the other side would be the Quran representing Muslims. All those things were put together and we called it Sarvdharm Mandir. That was in the 70s. I went to my unit.
Before you had even known Swami?
I had known Swami in the sense my parents had already started telling me. And maybe this was the first Swami's guidance to me to bring changes in the military also. Could be that also. So we did this. I went to the same unit 2 months back on their Platinum Jubilee, 75 years. I found the same concept of Sarvdharma is carrying on there. It still is carrying on for the last 40, 50 years. It's carrying on.
Beautiful.
It has found its roots there. I was invited to the neighboring unit, which I did not know earlier. I went there and found the same concept of Sarvdharma. I asked the commanding officer and the brigade commander about this issue. He said that about 20 to 30 years back, instructions were received from the army headquarters that in future we should not call them Mandir, we should call them Sarvdharm Sthal or Sarvdharm Mandirs. And for the whole Indian army, from that time onwards, this concept has taken place. I don't take pride in saying that I had broken that ice in the Indian army, in the whole Indian army, from our unit. But I think Swami was behind it. Because that was the time I had already started thinking about Swami. I had not seen him. But I was thinking of Swami because my parents would every time, whenever I spoke to them from field areas, they would always talk about Sai Baba hai, wo bhi idhar hai, wo idhar hai, wo Delhi mein aaya tha 1972. So that was the starting point. Now, when you asked me, when you invited me to come over for this interaction, I said, now 40 years of interaction with Swami, 45 years of interaction with Swami, how do I start? Then suddenly I remembered that in my drawers, somewhere inside, deep in my drawers, I have had diaries with me of a large number of my interactions with Swami. The background to these diaries, which is very interesting because I have got all my points recorded from diaries. When I was in the National Defense Academy, again before Swami, the concept is that every officer, every cadet for that matter, must maintain diaries. Write your things down at least once in a week. It improves your communication skills. It improves your ability to express yourself. And since then, I'd been writing. Once in an interview with Swami, I always carry a diary with me. I've kept the diary to one side at this moment. I always carry a diary with me. Even for an interview in Whitefield, Terai, I had a diary and Swami said, "Ye kyun lekar aaya hai?" I told Swami, "Swami, ye mera diary hai. And what I do is, jo kuch event hota hai, main usko note kar leta hai. And then I go home and write it in a diary." He understood the point.
So you told him that you note down everything.
I note down everything as in my diary. I note down on the spot or whenever I get
later
time.
Later elaborate.
And then I reproduce it in my diaries at home. He said, "Uska kya fayda?" I said, "Swami, it is for me to refresh and for posterity. How long can I live? My next generation and next generation can also refer to it. I have got two generations already, my children and my grandchildren, and they know that the diary exists. The aim of the diary was achieved." Swami said, "Bahut acha hai, in students ko bhi sikhao." There was students sitting there. So I looked at them and just kept quiet at it. In front of Swami, you really don't have to discuss these issues. It is just a small direction which comes from Baba, and you got to absorb it, assimilate it, and then wait for posterity and a proper guidance coming in from him. So I left it at that. Now I'll come to the time when Swami came into it. You see, I came from a family of religious persons. My father was quite traditional. My mother was also, her father, before independence, much before Britishers' time, he was the director of railways once upon a time, and she was quite flamboyant. She was quite tomboyish. My father was very traditional. They got married. Now, that is the time when Shirdi Baba, the awareness for Shirdi Baba was there. My mother was all for it. Once it happened that my parents, I was that time shuttling around in my military career, and I was really not in Delhi with my parents for long, unfortunately. I did not stay with my father for long, and I was only 16 years old, and I had joined the academy, and well, that parental touch with me, unfortunately, I wish it was more, it wasn't there much. But the sanskars, my parents always made sure whenever I came on leave, they always guided me to the better, to the finer aspects of life. My mother had started reading a lot about Shirdi Sai Baba. They went to Dehradun in their car for a wedding function. No, they went for a holiday. In Dehradun, they went to somebody's house, and there my mother saw a small photograph. It was just a small one, maybe 4 inches by 4 inches or 3 inches by 4 inches of Shirdi Baba, the photograph she had never seen before. It was something different. She asked them, "Ye kahan se mili?" And I really don't remember at this moment what she said, what the lady, the hostess said, but she said, "We got it from somebody and it's not available in market. However," she said, "I'll take you to one of the samitis there." I'm referring now to long time back, 70s, early 70s. "I will show you and you can see if there's a book." They went there. They had a look at lots of photographs there of Shirdi Baba. Sai Baba's photographs were not really very many at that time, that point of time, early 70s.
So this was a samiti of Shirdi Baba devotees?
I think it was Shirdi Baba's. I'm not sure. I will not commit at the moment since I'm on record. But it was a samiti. That's what I got it written in my diary. A samiti. Whatever. She could not find anything. And she went to Mussoorie for the function, for the holiday. And she was telling my father that photograph was beautiful. It seems Shirdi Baba had come to life in that photograph. "I really wish I could find a photograph like this." So my father said, "Yes, let's see. We'll go to Delhi and see." See, if holiday finished after 10 days or they came back to Delhi. But my mother still had this in mind. "I want that photograph of Shirdi Baba. It's very nice." They went to one or two places. They could not find it. So the matter got closed, but she had it in her mind, "I want Shirdi Baba's photograph, that small one." My mother had a small locker in a bank in Delhi. The place was Rajouri Garden. So at one particular time, she wanted to place her jewellery back after attending and going on a holiday, come back, put the jewellery back like every housewife does, every mother does. She went to the bank. She opened the locker. And inside that, right in front of all the jewelry and whatever there was lying inside, in front of that, as soon as you opened the locker, right in front, same photograph. Just the same photograph which she was looking for was lying right there. She was amazed. She was quite in a state of shock. She closed it. She thought she was a hallucination. She again opened it. Photograph was still there. She picked up the photograph, put it into this thing, closed it, and came home. She told the father, this has happened. My father was quite amazed. This was somewhere at a time when they had already started with Baba. When Baba went to Delhi, he was walking through. By then, my parents were already, they were holding portfolios. My mother was the, in the Seva Dal, she was something, must be the secretary. My father was also the secretary in the gents. Swami walked through, looked at her mother, and he said, photo mil gaya. And he walked on and came back. And just one dialogue she had, that's the first time she met him. Mm-hmm. Photo mil gaya. And then he walked back and he went to the stage. You see, in Talcottora Gardens, there's a very big crowd. And he just came down for a short period. My parents happened to be sitting a little in front. And he just walked through, photo mil gaya, and he went back. And it was amazing. Now, that was the first impact my parents had about Swami. And they straight away wrote to me that this is what happened. And you see, those days, there were no mobiles. Everything was STD calls. STD call, you got to sit next to a telephone. Those were those ancient telephones. And you got to wait for half an hour, 45 minutes before a call materializes. And that too, strength is not five. Strength is only one. So, but it had an impact on me also. And I said, wow. And then Baba's aware of it. I don't know. I've not seen him. I've only seen his photographs. And my mother first encounter. No, I'll not. Encounter is not the correct word. But the first time she saw and met Baba was this dialogue and that photograph. This photograph is still there with me in our home mandir. My mother, right till the day she passed off, that photograph was always next to Sai Baba's larger photograph, and she preserved it. She says, nobody is going to touch it. It has come directly from Baba. Hmm. It is wow. Still there. I didn't wish I would have brought it and shown it to you.
Hmm. Yeah, we would have loved to.
Yes, I should have been able to show it to
you. So in their minds, there was never a doubt about who is Shirdi Baba and who is Satya Sai Baba.
No, she never. The only thing is, before she met him, she was still focused on the first name was Shirdi Baba. After this, the first name became Swami or Sai Baba. Not that she shifted from there, but she associated both together because she had already read the books and they knew that he was a reincarnation of him.
Yes. It's the same Sai Baba.
It was the same person from Shirdi to Sai Baba. Books, they had started reading books. Mm. My father had a nice library of books and I maintained it myself. I have a very large collection of Baba's books. Now, talking of belief and how Swami gets a person in, I'll give you another incident, a very nice, interesting incident, an informal and a personal one. My father retired in the 70s. Yes, he retired in the 70s, mid-70s. And he was a textile engineer working for DCM, Delhi Cloth Mills. And thereafter, his pension was 2,000 rupees. Those days, 2,000 was a reasonable amount in the 70s. 2,000 was reasonable. But all the same, they had a car. And since my mother was an active member of a portfolio holder, as the heading the Seva Dal of that particular Rajouri Garden unit, and my father was also the vice president or something, they would go and attend everywhere. And she used to do a lot of Seva in hospitals there, in and around that particular district of Rajouri Garden. They would always go in a car. Autos were not very many. Cycle rickshaws used to be there in those days. Now, they would go in a car. So one day they were to go, and my mother said, chalo, take your car out, let's go. My father said, look, why do you want to go in a car just 2 kilometers or 3 kilometers? Let's go in a rickshaw. She says, no. My father said that, look, it costs money and I'm a retired man and I'm on my living on my pension. So let's be considerate on that. So my mother, out of scorn, she said, look, how much money do you spend in a month on petrol? He said, I'm spending 400 rupees every month on my petrol for car. And 400 rupees was when the petrol itself was just 1 rupee a litre or maybe less. I don't remember. 1 odd rupee a litre. But 400 rupees. She said, nahi, nahi, Baba denge. Let's take the car. Baba denge. My father said, Baba has got more important things to do than to give you money for petrol. She's nahi nahi, 400 rupaye ka baat hai. Let us go, Baba denge.
Just 400 rupees and Baba will give it.
Baba will give. See, my mother was hardcore Baba devotee. My father was a bit of a rationalist. My mother was a hardcore. So she said, Baba denge, and she kept repeating, Baba denge, Baba denge, and they went. They finished with their job. They came back. Then a day later or 2 days later, my mother was cleaning her steel almirah. Now, the steel almirah is just generally in North Indian families is where ladies keep their saris inside. They keep, there's a small locker. They keep their jewelry inside. And it's basically a feminine attire holder. Now, my father was sitting in his nights in the early morning bed tea time reading the papers out in the veranda. And my mother was wanting to clean up the almirah. She opened the almirah door. There's a small locker inside. She opened the locker door. And then she found there was a very nice blue sachet lying there. A colored velvet sachet lying there. She was wondering, ye kya cheez hai? What is this? She picked it. She opened it. Crisp 100 rupee notes. 1, 2, 3, 4. 400 rupee notes. She was amazed. What is this? 400 rupees was quite a lot during those days. And generally, in the earlier days, the head of the family used to keep the money. He used to regulate the flow of money. So my mother always had to ask him, I want 200 here, I want 100 there, give me 50 there, give me this, sabji wala aaya hai, give me that. Now here was 400 rupees lying, which she did not know. She picked it up. She took it to my father outside, sitting in the veranda. She said, have you opened my almirah? He said, no, I'm not interested in your almirah. It's got nothing of my interest there. She says that, how much money did you say you had expended last month in petrol? He said, I told you day for yesterday, 400 rupees. She said, here's your 400 rupees. Baba has given it to me. This small sachet was lying inside my almirah. And here are the four crisp notes, 100 rupees. 100 rupees was a big value that time.
Yes.
We had 100 rupee note, 200 rupees, 500, 10, 100, 100. I don't know whether we used to have 1,000 rupees or not. I'm not sure. But 100 rupees. My father was taken aback. The hair standing, they were amazed. Ye kaise ho gaya? 400 rupees, that's a wealth. Now, that was a direct impact after that photograph. Photograph, my father was not a witness because she had gone alone.
Mm-hmm.
Here, my father was a witness because the almirah was in the bedroom and he was sitting outside in the veranda. And he found that 100 rupee note. And that's the time when he also suddenly realized that Sai Baba is something beyond a human being.
Mm.
That had a very good... Now, this was the third impact. Siddhi Baba's photograph, this, and the earlier one was Talcottora Gardens. Photograph mil gaya. Kya bola tha? Photograph mil gaya. So
every this, time, every time your mother opened the locker, something new was getting
something
unlocked.
New came out. Yes, precisely.
Her.
Something new came out.
Yes.
And Baba has a way to play around with his devotees. In fact, all the talks that I'm going to give you now, all the incidents that I'm going to give you now, all pertain to these things, the way Baba plays around with his devotees in a very friendly manner. In fact, I always considered Swami right through the complete... he asked me, kaisa hai, theek hai. I have got photographs of me holding him by his shoulder on one side and things like that. So, he used to call me sir. I'll talk about it a little bit. He used to call me sir or he used to call me military. So, at one time, what was the question he asked me? I don't know, but I told Swami, hey, Swami, you are my friend, philosopher and guide. The people were sitting down below in the upper veranda, upper portico, when I said this and they heard. And later on, they ticked me off that you should not say he's your friend, philosopher and guide. He is the God. I said, it's a question of how you look at a person. And Swami always used to smile at me and either tap me here or tap me here. Or if I'm doing this, he would do this and things like that. Which was these are all friendly body languages. I always considered him as a friend, my philosopher. And he would guide me through the life, which he has been doing almost every day. There's a miracle happened yesterday. I'll come to that at the fag end. Now, I'll tell you another very interesting incident. Again, this would have been in the late 70s or maybe early 80s. My mother had a brother. In fact, she comes from a family of sportsmen, and she herself represented or she participated in India badminton. She was a state player. She represented state for the country, in the country. And her brothers, all of them were football players. Those days, there used to be football clubs. The one that I remember is Mohan Bagan. Mohan Bagan. I remember Mohan Bagan and New Delhi Heroes and something. One of her brothers, his name was Vidhi Prakash VP Suri. Now, I had come on a holiday, on my leave from the military to Delhi, and we had plans to come to Puttaparthi to be with Swami for 10 days. I was told when we came on a journey, some rowdy elements and outside when we are traveling in a train, they threw stones. I was terribly hurt. My mother was hurt. And in fact, before getting into the train, I met with a scooter motorcycle accident of my brother-in-law. And I was bandaged all over and we came here. Mm-hmm. My father said, look, why are you going when you're in such a bad shape? My mother told him that me and my son and my daughter-in-law, we are going because we are in a bad shape. We must go and tell Swami why you've done this. And please now look into this. Look into our problem. She was a hardcore. For everything, it used to be Swami karega, Swami dega, Swami, 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 everything. Now, we came. We reached Bangalore to be told that Baba is in Whitefield. So instead of coming here, we went to Whitefield. Badly off. There was pus here and bandage, and my mother was also limping. And my daughter-in-law, my wife, her daughter-in-law, she was tending to both of us. But that's what a family is. So once we went there to Whitefield, there we were told that Swami has just left for Puttaparthi. Oh. I said, what do we do? We can't. The warden there... No, there were two students there with the warden, and they said, you wanted to have Swami's darshan? I said, yes. He said, he's gone to Bangalore. He's gone to Puttaparthi, but you are limping. What is the problem? And I told him that we are badly off, and can you tell us some doctor who can change my bandage? Because it's been on for the past 3 days' journey. Those days, the super trains were not, super fast trains were not there. The trains were all moving in slow motion, and it used to be a 48 hours journey, maybe more, I don't remember. So he said, no, you don't have to go to a doctor. We will tend it. This is our duty. And they took us to a small room inside. And there the boys themselves, they looked at my dirty wound. They cleaned it themselves. And that's the time I realized that, look, there is a difference in a Swami's student and outsiders. Nobody else would have touched this wound. And they would have said, look, this is an open wound. You please go to the doctor. They very lovingly, they touched it, they cleaned it, they put things on it, they gave me a fresh bandage. They were not in a hurry. It took almost about 30 minutes for them to tend to both of us. And that is the time I realized that my children, once they grow up, they also must join Baba's college. This is humility. This, I said, was humility. And look at this empathy that the children are showing towards their elders. It was a very, very touching scene. We forgot Baba at that particular time that he's not in Bangalore and we need to go to Puttaparthi for that, but we were in no hurry. We are just admiring those two boys. It remains etched in my mind, and even if I meet them now, well, their faces would have changed, but the memory of their faces of that is still there with me. That empathy I've not seen later. That love that was radiating when they were looking at wounds with septic. It was amazing. And that is the first time I said that when my children grow up, they should go to Puttaparthi. Now, this sentence of mine, keep it at the back of your mind. I will come to that later. Thereafter, we caught a bus. Yes, we caught a bus from Bangalore and we came here from Vrindavan to Puttaparthi, a direct bus. It reached here at around 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. We went to, everything was closed. We slept outside on the road somewhere under a tree. Those days, the rooms were not many. In the morning, we went to the accommodation officer. Accommodation office used to be here. And there was a small PR table there. And we told, he listened to us that Rani Malhotra, my mother's name, Rani Malhotra, looking for accommodation. He said, you're Rani Malhotra? He said, yes. He says, there's a telegram for you. So she said, yes. He gave it to us, which said, your brother, Vidhi Suri, expired yesterday.
Oh my God.
My mother, she said, look, from the beginning, my husband has been telling me, don't go, it's ill omen, in the sense that you got hurt. Your son, who is a military man, and health is very important. Otherwise, they'll discharge me from the military when I'm only in my 30s. He's injured, and how can you go to him? My mother said, no, Baba, Baba, Baba. We came here, and now we have her brother, who may have been just about 60-odd years, 50, 60, I don't know, expired. Now, she was crying, and we got a shed, and she said, man, what to do? I said, if you want, let's go back. She said, no, I want an explanation from Baba. Why has he taken away my brother from me? I didn't want this to happen. Throughout the night, she kept, throughout the day, she kept complaining. Baba came. There was nothing. He just walked past. You see, the place where Baba gives, it used to be an open area.
Yes.
It used to be an open area, and there's just gravel there and small sheds on either side, the small canopies on either side.
Small arches.
Arches there, and sand, to sit there. Nothing. In the evening, again, Baba came. Again, nothing. Next day morning, again, he came. He looked at my mother. She was still crying. She did not know, should I go back? A funeral will be in another 2 days' time. What to do? And then at that stage, when Baba looked at her, she said in her mind, Baba, I want my brother back. And then I think she said, in my diary is written there, she said that, I spoke to Baba, I want my brother back. And Baba looked at her and then walked ahead. This was in the morning darshan. In the evening, another telegram came that Times of India have regretted publishing the name of a person who had died by the name Vidhi Prakash Suri. It was not Vidhi Prakash Suri. It was Vidhi Prakash Moraya or something, some surname. And Vidhi Prakash Suri, it is regretted that this information is wrong. Vidhi Prakash Suri is alive and is stationed in Bhiwani. That was the place. Now, here, see, we always take the newspapers to be authority. My mother challenged it. She said, no, this newspaper is wrong. I want my brother back. Swami listened to her heart. And it was amazing. He reversed the news of death to come back to life. He came back to life. This was there. And after that, we stayed here for 10 days. That the extract of letter of regret by Times of India, published in the Times of India the next day, my father took a copy of that. You see, those days Xerox was also not there. I think he bought another edition of Times of India and took a thing and sent it by post to us, which came to us 5 days thereafter, in which it was written there that the Times of India had made a mistake. There were two people by the same name, Vidhi Prakash Suri and Vidhi Prakash something else. They said Vidhi Prakash Suri, a renowned footballer. They said it was not a Vidhi Prakash Suri, a renowned footballer. It was the Vidhi Prakash something else who had expired. Vidhi Prakash Suri is fine. Now, when you undergo such a dramatic intervention by Baba, how can you not say that Baba is supernatural?
So what had actually happened? Later did you...
Nothing. We went back. We talked to him. He came from Bhiwani to Delhi to be with his sister. And he said, I'm normal. There's a wrong news. But it created a lot of discomfort in us who were sitting 3,000, 2,500 miles away from home. And my father was not with us.
Mm.
Now, if it was a decision taken by my mother, there was something in her which must have told her, no, Baba will.
Mm.
We'll come to a number of points in which she has said, Baba will, and it has happened. Baba all loved my mother, and they were very friendly. They used to talk that you were also born in this year. I was also born in here. Kya Mataji, you are saying your eyes are not well. Dekho, I am also the same age as you. You are 25 born. I am also 25 born. Sab theek hai Mataji. And that is how friendly they were right through. So this Vidhi Prakash reversal of the death of Vidhi Prakash had a very, very strong impact on all three of us who were here. My son was very small, I think. Maybe 3 years or something. Three or four years or whatever. I don't know. It had a terrific impact. And that is a time again that fresh enthusiasm to be with Swami and to remain in his fold and to be quite convinced in a very assimilative manner that he is not a normal human being. He is God personified. That is how our stepping into Baba's fold started, and it carried on during the 70s. I'll now tell you of another issue again in the late 70s. My father had retired. I've already spoken about retirement earlier. When he retired, they were settled in Rajouri Garden, but then they were very, very devoted to their punctuality and participation in the Samiti affairs of that area. He was the president and my mother was the secretary. And one particular day, they were to go for the morning Narayan Seva, for the morning
Nagar Sankirtan.
I like to apologize. My age is really keeping my memory also a little faded. Yeah, they were going for the Nagar Sankirtan early morning, 5:45, 6 o'clock, in their car. They were a little late, so my father was driving quite fast. Just my father and my mother. I was in some field area somewhere. I am not sure. They were driving along a highway, going from place A to place B to be on time for the Nagar Sankirtan because he was organizing it. Now, that's the time when you have these newspaper vendors early morning, 5:30, 5:45 in their cycles. And, you know, one newspaper vendor suddenly crossed the road. My father came on at his 60 kilometers, 70 kilometers per hour. He had an ambassador, and those days car never went at 100 kilometers an hour. But I'm sure he must be going around 60 to 70 kilometers an hour, wanting to make it on time. And that's the time when the a young Sikh boy, he crossed and went right in front of the car, and there was a total accident. The young boy. His body went up in the air. My father's car went over the cycle. It went about 20 meters or 30 meters ahead. The body had hit the screen and it rolled down. And by the time the car stopped, there was a motionless body lying there. While my father was still in a shake of, you know, what to do, steering left, steering right, brake, ye wo. My mother just yelled out, Baba, bachao, Swami, bachao, Swami, bachao. They just couldn't do anything. Here was it, papers, all that 100 papers all over the countryside. There were a number of people who saw this accident, they came running. And when they came running, the 10, 15 people got around that person and they were wondering, what do I do? The body is motionless. It was presumed to be dead. It was presumed to be dead, but no evidence as such that I can record here. My father and mother wouldn't get down because they said, I don't know. One or two people came to them. Now, with threats, maybe to beat them up. Now, here's a retired man. My mother was also of that particular age. And they did not know what to do. And before those people could open their mouth and came to with a stone or something to break and head, one person in an orange robe came over all of a sudden from nowhere. And he came to the car and he said, kya hua? The people standing outside wanting to criminally assault my parents, they said, maar diya, bahut tez chalaya, ek aadmi ko maar diya, wo dekho, and there were 20 people there.
Kill this boy.
This boy, usko maar diya. So that person in orange robe said, dekho, dekho, aao mere saath aao, dekhte hain kya hua. And he went there. And that chap said, cycle mein tha. He said, cycle ka hai. Cycle was 30 meters behind, out of shape. Obviously, the car had rolled over the cycle. He went there He told everybody, get away, get away, get away. The gentleman in the orange robe. He told everybody, get away, get away. He saw the boy motionless. My father was just witness because he could see between two and three, you know, between the crowd. There's a crowd around. He could see between the crowd what's happening to the body. And the gentleman in orange robe, he just did like this. Chalo beta, uth jao. Kuch nahi hua tumko. Uth jao, uth jao. Shabash, get up, get up. Kuch nahi hua, get up. Nothing is wrong. And suddenly, there was motion, life in that boy.
Mm-hmm.
People were amazed. They were dumbstruck. That how's he come back to life? And the gentleman in the orange robe again said, uth jao. And he told one of the persons, thoda madad karo, help him get up. And this person got up. Got up, no injuries. And then he told him, baal theek karo. And since he had long hair, he did his thing and tied up his thing and got ready. And he said, theek hai, dekho, laat upar niche karo, haath upar niche karo. Any problems? He said, no problems. But he was in a state of shock. Obviously, he has to be in a state of shock. Then the gentleman in the orange robe said, tum kaise aaya tha? He said, I came in a cycle. He told 5-6 of them, pura newspaper utha ke do isko bache ko. People got busy in, so that you see, there's no mob element there. People got busy in picking up
so
the...
picked up the newspapers.
Newspapers and giving it to him. He said, tumhara cycle kahan hai? And somebody said, oh, dekho, cycle peeche hai. He said, cycle ko leke ao.
Bring the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Bring the cycle. So, one person went to bring the cycle and he found the cycle was became okay.
Mm-hmm.
All the dents and the wheel that had gone topsy-turvy, it became okay. And he brought the cycle like this, with the wheels working, everything okay. He told the newspaper man, apna newspapers ko lagao andar aur jao. He put all his things newspaper and he rode the bicycle and went away.
He went away.
Went away for his job. Nothing has happened. He may have been in a state of shock. I was not a witness to this, so I don't know how much was the state of shock, but that's all what my parents told me. He was in a state of shock, but he went away doing his job, which meant that there were no grievous injuries on him. The cycle, which was damaged and the car had rolled over the cycle, and the cycle was out of shape when my father saw it through the rear view mirror, we became okay. He went. The gentleman in the orange robe came to my father and he said, tum jis shubh kaam ke liye ja rahe ho, jaldi se jao. Implying that whatever auspicious work or holy work or whatever work you are going for, you please go quick. You are late. And my father made it on time for the Nagar Sankirtan. When he came back, he was in a state of shock. The headlights were broken. The bonnet was damaged. The car required to go to the workshop. My father was in a state of shock. He came, he parked the car in the garage at home. And for the next 7 days, he did not come out of his home. That abhi police wala aayega and he'll arrest him. Police wala aayega, arrest him. Nothing happened.
Mm.
Nothing happened. The car required a workshop effort, which was done. But that Swami does not do anything. Now, here is another case which defies logic. It defies logic. And my mother would always tell my father, see, you always questioned Baba. Now, what do you have to say to this? Here was a time when they became total devotees. Well, they were already in the samiti, vice president, secretary. But here was a time when they knew for sure that if I have a problem, I just have to say, Baba, help, Swami, help, and help will come. W-I-L-L, will come. It has always come. Now, here was a very interesting case about a person, maybe, perhaps, coming back to life in front of 15 to 20 people, who, out of which very many could have been the nuisance creators or the, I'll not say gunda elements, but the youth who get infuriated very quickly. And they could have retaliated by a criminal assault on my parents. But this gentleman in the orange robe, Baba, came and saved the situation. It was an amazing incident. It was known to our complete family all over the country and abroad, wherever my things were. And they have noted it down. That look, this is beyond logic. Now, I got another very interesting miracle to say, to explain how Baba intervenes. Even with nature, how can he intervene? Small little issues with nature. I have two sisters, both are younger to me. The youngest, her name is Rashmi. She got married and settled in USA. She's an American citizen. No. They got married sometimes in the 70s, sometimes in late 70s in Delhi. And then she went abroad and joined my brother-in-law, and they settled there. Now, when they got married, like all mothers and grandmothers, as soon as their daughter gets married, the first thing they want to know is, when am I going to become a dadi or when am I going to become a nani? When do you give me a grandchild to play with? Before I am gone, I must have my grandchild in my arm to play with. Pure Indian sentiments. And coming from a traditional Indian family, my mother also wanted a quick result. 1 year passed, nothing. 2 years passed, nothing. 3 years passed, nothing. 5 years passed, nothing. Now, that's the time when my mother got a little anxious and she would question my daughter openly, but what is the problem? Why this delay? And both my brother-in-law and my daughter became aware of it, or rather made the issues public. They told them that there seems to be something amiss. Between the two of them. So they were advised to report sick. Report sick in the sense that consult a doctor. Now in America, they're very quick. She reported to the nearest dependent doctor, the family doctor in that particular region. And that doctor said that I can't really make out. He did one or two tests and he referred her to the San Francisco Medical College, where they have a research on. She was referred there. Both of them were referred. They also got a few tests done. And they said that we can't really make out what is the problem. They referred it to Los Angeles, where there is a research, nuclear medical research. There's a nuclear medical research, and she was referred over a period of time, 1 year more than that, right till the top, where the science technology was the best in USA. So I presume globally the best. They were referred there, lots of tests, 5 years ka 6 years ho gaya, 6 years ka 7 years ho gaya, 7 years and no results. We all got worried this side, and what is the problem? They also were told finally that it is regretted. You may please adopt a child. You cannot bear. I am not very sure where the problem was, but the end result was, the diagnosis was that you cannot you cannot bear. You will not be able to conceive. She spoke to my mother. My mother said, what nonsense? She would always challenge everything which is logical. So she said, what nonsense? Baba denge. So my
Swami will give.
So my sister, she kept quiet, and my son-in-law, who was not a Baba's devotee as such, but a very traditional man, he said, kya mami, aise thoda hota hai. I think let us adopt. She says, you're not going to adopt. Baba is going to give you a child. Now, 7 years and 8 years ho gaya, no child. And that is the time when my mother told me that you please come and leave. I want you to take me to Puttaparthi. So, since I was in a field area, my wife was already in Delhi. Ashish, my son Ashish, was also studying in some small class that time. Maybe in class 2, class 3 or class 1, whatever. So, while my father held the fort in Delhi, looking after the house, the safety, whatever aspects, all three of us, four of us, we came here to Puttaparthi. Again, the hall here, the interview, the hall here, Kulwant Hall, used to be the earlier one, gravel around, and that's what it was in the 70s and 80s. 80s then, mid-80s. That's the time we were sitting there and Swami came. He looked at my mother. My mother was weeping. And she had something in her mind, but she, obviously when Swami's in front of you, you lose your speech. So she was not able to say something. And Swami just crossed and went away. He said, I'm not going to leave Swami this way. In the evening darshans, again Swami came. Again she was crying. Swami came, had a look at her, went ahead about two or three and came back. Mataji, kyo rota hai?
Why are you crying?
Why are you crying? So she was really in tears and lack of expression. And she had a letter. She wanted to give that letter because she said that in case Baba, I'm not able to interact with Baba, at least the letter will reach. And in that letter, she had mentioned this complete problem. He said, letter nahi chahiye, mujhe malum hai.
I know.
I know. Don't worry. And then, well, he did not say, don't worry. He said, I know. And thereafter, my mother, in her heart, she said, I want a grandchild. Baba said loudly, I will give you. And then he did this, took out Vibhuti, gave it to her. And he said, Tumhara beti ke liye, this is for your daughter. No communication had taken place from my mother to Swami, because she was in a state of high emotions. But Swami, he knows everything. He said, Tumhara beti ke liye, and he gave it to her. We were all watching. I was on the gent side and my wife must have been in the second row, just behind her or wherever. So he said, Tumhara beti ke liye, and then Swami vanished. He went ahead and went all around giving darshans and he went inside. Now, those days, getting Vibhuti was not so common. It was quite rare. Now, after Swami went in and everybody got up to break off for the day, I also quickly went from around to check with kya hua. Something had happened with you and you were on your knees. I went there and she was there with Vibhuti in her hand and people were wanting to a little bit of Vibhuti and she said, nahi, this is for my daughter. I've got to give it. That's the time when I reached. Now, somebody came, he said, Vibhuti, daughter ke liye hai, toh don't put it here. You are sweating. You put it on a piece of paper, and he gave a piece of paper, like what Swami gives inside now. And she put that Vibhuti and put it in. Now, a gentleman came in, a little hefty. I am forgetting his name at the moment, but if I remember, I'll tell you.
Khyaldas?
Huh?
Khyaldas. Khyaldas.
No.
Okay.
But anyway, a gentleman came. And he said, Hato, kya ho raha, kya ho raha? Mataji, what happened? Humne dekha tha. We saw Swami giving you Vibhuti. My mother was still in tears. You see, it was all shock. So many things happened all of a sudden. She was still in her tears. He said, kya hua? She said, mera beti ke liye, I want to give it to her. He said, haan, de do, kidhar hai? So he said, no, my mother said that, no, she is not here. She is in America. Oh, he said, America mein? I am from America. Mujhe batao. Can I help you? So, wo kahan rehta hai? So, my mother said, she is in California. Oh, I am from California. Mujhko batao. Kidhar, California mein kidhar? So, my mother said, udhar ek chota sa jagah hai called Alamo. Oh, Alamo? Kya naam hai uska? Main Alamo ka rehne waka hai. I'm staying from there. So, uska kya naam hai? She said, Rashmi. Rashmi Sani. My mother said, yes. Oh, main to janta hu usko, wo to mera beti hai. She's like my daughter. And he was aged. He was elder to me also now. He would have been, God bless his soul. If he was alive, he would have been around 90 now. 85, 90. He said, I know Rashmi Sani. This is for her. You are her mother. She said, yes. He said that she comes for bhajans in my samiti. And my room, I have given my hall on the ground floor exclusively to Baba for holding bhajans. And she said, ke, when are you going? Now, all of a sudden, you say, there's action. Tears gone. Action happening. Baba's playing the mischief. He said, ke, she said, when are you going? He said, Swami, I'm going tomorrow. She said, Mataji, I'm going tomorrow. She said, please take it. He took it. The next day, he took a flight, and 2 days thereafter, we got a telegram, or was it a telephone? I don't remember now. We got an intimation that she has received the vibhuti. And she took the vibhuti. 1 day, 10 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And after 4 weeks, she gave the good news that she has conceived.
Oh, wow.
She gave the good news that she has conceived. So my mother said, see, I told you Baba will give. You guys, you youngsters, you don't listen to me. I knew it. You will get it. Now there was jubilation. And then we had the prettiest niece and my mother had the prettiest granddaughter that Swami could give. American now, of course. American citizens, American. And she brought her here to Whitefield when for the Thanksgiving. My sister had come along with my brother-in-law was also there. And this girl was there, her daughter, the new baby. And Swami came and stood in front of Mataji. Stood in front of Mataji, that's my mother. And he told her, Mataji, tum kyo rota hai? Swami tumhare paas hai. And he looked at the baby, blessed her, looked at my sister, blessed her and walked away. Now, that's not all. This particular child, having been given a birth, is now a case study in the Los Angeles Institute of Nuclear Medicine in their archives with a file heading, Unexplained Miracles in Anatomy. Unexplained miracles in our country, and it is still there for posterity. Wow. Now, here is an unbelievable case.
What's her name?
The child's? Sheena. Sheena Sawhney. Sheena Sawhney. Now, this was unbelievable. It was a sensational news in America, in the Baba circle there, and in all the Baba circle here in India, wherever the world travels.
Mm.
It was something very, very sensational and something to be seen on ground. Not only was one child, then she had another daughter, then she had a third daughter.
Oh.
Now she's got 3 bonny children, all Swami's grace. Now here it goes to show that Swami is very, very concerned with his devotees. He says, you take one step towards me and I'll take 100 towards you. My mother has been demanding, no, Swami will give. Swami, what is this? I protest. I also protested. I'll tell you that story later. Swami, you must give me. I want it. I want it. I want it. Swami says, I'll give it. I'll give it. I'll give it. And he gives it. That is unbelievable, a sensational revelation. When I speak about this, the ladies, wherever I'm speaking, I speak about this quite frequently, though it's something very personal. It's something very personal. But I speak and wherever there are ladies in whichever forum I'm speaking, they have tears in their eyes, their sensation, because they associate themselves with my sister as a lady to a lady that yes, these things can happen. But look at this miracle. A child came when everybody else had given up. It was amazing. And this, whenever I speak about this, I straightway make 5 people who are listening, devotees, who had just casually come for the function. Now, just to break the seriousness of these issues on the lighter vein, I'll just explain to you on a lighter vein. Again, Swami knows it.